Lift up your voices and appreciate him for preservation for the month of January, preservation for the month of February, preservation for the month of March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and here we are in December. Father, we thank you. The Bible said it's not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God who shows mercies. We slept, we awaked, for you sustained us. It was not possible to sleep and wake up if you didn't sustain us. Thank you, Master, and thank you, Adonai. We worship you. We honor you in Jesus' precious name. Breathe upon this word tonight. Breathe upon this service tonight. Let not one person leave you the same way they came. Thank you, Master, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord the praise. Welcome somebody. Appreciate God for them. Shake their hands and tell them welcome to the 12th month. Welcome to the preservation service. Hallelujah. Go on ahead and still greet 7 people and thank God you made it so far. 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 And thank God you made it so far. And in the name of Jesus, you will make it to the end and cross over to the next year. In Jesus' precious name, thank God you made it so far. Give the Lord the praise. Give him the honor and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, you may have your seat. Amen. Hallelujah. This evening, we shall be looking at deliverance from the forces of wickedness. Deliverance from the forces of wickedness. We have two objectives. Number one, understanding the season of wickedness that we live in. Understanding the season of wickedness that we live in. Number two, understanding the forces of deliverance from wickedness. The forces to employ, or what we need to do to have our deliverance from the forces of wickedness. In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. There are 3 things I want you to understand. And everywhere you are connected to this word around the world, please take what you're about to hear very seriously. We live in the world that lies in wickedness. And I want to identify 3 characteristics of this wickedness of the season. Number one, the devil is moving about with great restlessness, ruthlessness, and anger, because he knows that he has but a short time on it. It's moving about with great ruthlessness, restlessness, ruthlessness, anger, because he knows that he has a short time. In Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. We dwell there because we are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So he said we should rejoice. He said, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great anger, wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. We live in a season where there is a restless movement of the devil, a ruthless movement of the devil, full of anger, looking for who to waste, but not you. Cut people short before their time. Send some to hell without giving their souls to Christ, because he knows he has a short time to see how much sorrow he can cause on the earth. Because the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. How much sorrow he can cause on earth. How many he can kill. How many he can take out to the grave before their time. How many he can send to hell. But that will never be your portion. So that is a character of the season of wickedness we live in today. Number two. The heart of man. It is a season where the devil is moving about with great restlessness, ruthlessness, and anger, because he knows his time is short. Number two, it is a season where the heart of man is filled with so much evil, so much wickedness, so much lovelessness as a symptom and a sign of the end time. Filled with so much evil, filled with so much wickedness, so much lovelessness. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 12, it said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. At times when you see the behavior of human beings these days, you see the action of people called terrorists, called kidnappers, called ritual killers, and all manner of demonic entities in this end time. You wonder whether these people are human beings or whether it's a mixture of the blood of demons and men, or whether these are demons in human flesh, because the Bible says that angels are transformed, that people have entertained angels unawares. So if angels can come like human beings, could it be possible that demons can be? There are human beings that are literal demons. Because the way of operation is, it beats the imagination. We live in that world today. So it says the world lieth in wickedness, with the devil on rampage, looking for whom to destroy. With the heart of weak of human beings filled with so much wickedness. And thirdly, the season is the season where, number three, the value of human life appear to have drastically dropped or disappeared in the minds and hearts of men, especially wicked men. The value of human lives, the value of human lives seem to have dropped drastically or even disappeared from the hearts of men in this end time. No wonder James chapter 4 verse 14 said, what is even your life? It is like a vapor that appeareth for a while and disappeareth again. Where people are experimenting with human lives. Drastic. And so, when we are in a world like this, that is filled with so much evil, filled with so much wickedness, the value of life seems disappeared. We have a set of people today, for example, in our country, who value cows more than human beings. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's the world we live in. And in this world that is charged with wickedness, they will never locate you. They will never find you. They will never cut you short. In the name of Jesus. But we must be forearmed, forewarned, and forearmed for this time. How do we escape the wickedness of this season? What forces do we employ? Number one, avoid being a victim of the plague of fear. One of the tools that the enemy uses is to saturate the earth with fear. Terrorism, as a matter of fact, is built on the installation and instilling of terror and dread in a generation. Just act in such a very, 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 very terrible way, heartless, inhuman, demonic way, until the climate is charged with fear. That is the agenda of the enemy. The Bible said in Luke chapter 21 verse 26, it said the time will come when the hearts of men will fail them for fear.
looking after those things, Lord, looking at the things that are happening upon the earth, the hearts of men begin to fail. And I can tell you, there are people today on earth whose hearts are failing. People who cannot sleep in the night in certain places, who are wondering and imagining what's going to happen to them, hearts failing. I mean, people whose ulcers have returned, or blood pressure has gone up, or migraine headache or something. Why? Because of the climate of fear we live in. And you must not give in to that fear. Because the Bible said in Job chapter 3 and in verse 25, it says, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come. Please understand that in order not to attract calamity, you must refuse to fear calamity. Whatever it takes you to kill the spirit of fear, to cast the spirit of fear to its roots, do it. Whatever it takes you, charging up yourself with the word, speaking out in faith, and all the things, but you must avoid being a victim of the plague of fear. Number two, some of the things I'm going to be saying will show us how to deal with that plague of fear. Number two, avoid negative thinking, imagination, or vision. Negative thinking, negative imagining, negative envisioning. You see, there are people that watch a video. I remember the first time, many years ago, this would be like 10, 11 years ago, when some people called us together and showed the video of the barbaric acts of the terrorists in the nation and an actual beheading of a man in their camp. It was one of the most gory sights I ever watched. Vowed never to watch such a thing another time. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are things that you see and watch, and the picture just stays there. It's not helpful for you. It's not helpful for your mind. Not helpful for your faith. And not helpful in any way. In Proverbs 23 and in verse 7, the Bible said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The picture in your heart can become your reality if it remains there. The imagination becomes the manifestation. In Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20, the Bible said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. So imagination carries power. Imagination has power. See, I heard some time ago that the center of the brain that deals with imagination and the center of the brain that deals with reality are close to each other. So that a thing that is vividly imagined is as good to the brain as if it is reality. Avoid negative imagination. Avoid negative thinking. Avoid picturing yourself in the scenario of calamity. Avoid picturing yourself in the scenario of disaster. Avoid picturing yourself in the scenario of destruction. Because what you imagine will emerge. What you picture, you capture. What you picture, you feature in. And faith involves the picture. The Bible said, Moses persevered as seeing the invisible. God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I give to you. So this is the season where you must paint any picture except the picture of disaster, except the picture of calamity, except the picture of destruction. Paint pictures of deliverance. People who were in the midst of disaster and got deliverance, that should be your picture. People who testified of how they were found in the midst of danger, how they were found in the midst, if you are ever going to be found, that is the picture you have. The picture of preservation, the picture of deliverance, the picture of the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that feareth him and delivereth them. That is the picture that is in your mind. Psalm 34, I believe that was verse 7. That is a picture. Avoid negative thinking, negative imagining, and negative vision. Number three, avoid the release of negative words. No matter how tempted you are, Never you say things like, it could be anybody. Don't say it. No matter how tempted, how pressured you are. No matter how much you want to feel like you are sociable, you are you have empathy, you are showing empathy. Empathic or empathetic, whatever. Ensure that you don't allow the negative words. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 2, he said, you are ensnared with the words of your mouth. The words of your mouth can become your trap, can become your snare. You are taken with the words of your mouth. You are ensnared with the words of your mouth. You are taken with the words of your mouth. So words can be snares. Words can be traps. Many have trapped their lives and trapped their destinies by the kind of statements they made. In Proverbs 18 and in verse 21, the Bible said, death and life is in the power of the tongue, are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You are either speaking death or you are speaking life. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 28, the Bible said, as you have spoken, tell the people, as you have spoken in my ears, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Please be careful of speaking words that empower devils, that empower demons. Do you know what the Bible said in Psalm 103, verse 20? It said, the angels excel in strength. Verse 20, the angels of the Lord excel in strength at the sound of his voice. They excel. They excel. So angels become strong when they hear God's voice and God's word. Positive words, authoritative words, declarative words, faith-filled words. If angels can be strengthened by the right words, the opposite is true. Demons can be strengthened by the wrong words. They are watching for the words you speak to strengthen you. To strengthen themselves unto evil and calamity. I speak to someone here today. Every demonic activity around your life on the basis of the wrong words that have come from your mouth, I declare is arrested right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak grace and help and blessing. To speak the right things. Be careful of speaking words that empower demons. And be careful of making it difficult for God to help you by the wrong words. The season we are in, it is easy to declare the wrong things because of the multiplicity of negative things. But when men say they are cast down, you shall say there is a lifting up. Number four. So, first of all, avoid being the victim of the plague of fear. Secondly, avoid negative thinking, imagination, or vision. Thirdly, avoid the release of negative words. Number four, continually charge your faith with preservation word. Continually charge your faith with preservation word. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 8, what saith it? The word is near you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that is the word of faith which we preach. Words can charge your faith. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 2, it says, as he spake, the Spirit entered into me. John chapter 6, verse 63, he said, it is the Spirit that's quickening. The flesh profited nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The right words releases the right spirit into you. It charges up your faith. Listen to this. Our actions and outcomes are determined by our word intake. Say that again. Your actions and your outcomes in life, our actions and outcomes are the products of our word intake. What you feed on, what you hear, determines how you act, determines how what you fear, and it also determines your outcome. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 and in verse 28, we see an example of how the disciples were in the sea afraid, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus answered him and he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. One word killed his fear. One word killed his doubt. One word, "Come." That word charged his faith and it made him to step on the water. That is how it is. This is the time to listen to messages such as, "They are dead. No weapon formed shall prosper. No weapon who gathered them." This is the kind of time to listen to those kind of and feed and feast on them on a continuous basis. On preservation word. Preservation word. Testimonies of preservation. When you do that, you continually charge your faith. And when you charge your faith, number five, you hold up your shield of faith in the face of challenge. You hold it up. That is number five. You hold up your shield of faith in the face of challenge. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 16. He said, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy." In Habakkuk chapter 20, verse 4, he said, "The just shall live by his faith." And so when your faith is charged, you can take it up when you are challenged. It is a charged faith that confronts challenges of life. You understand what I'm talking about? That is what makes you to say, "I can't die like chicken." That is what makes you to say, "When blood is wasted, mine cannot be wasted." That is what makes you to act contrary to the situations, because you have a faith that is charged. That is what the devil feels and smells around you, that this is not a wastable material. So you hold up your shield of faith. And how do you do that? By releasing the faith in your spirit with declarations, with actions, where you refuse to keep, you don't keep quiet when your destiny is being determined, where you decide that the devil will not have the final say. He will not have the final say. Do you understand? In 1 Samuel 17, 43 to 47, that was what David did in front of Goliath with a charged faith. "You come against me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the gods of the armies of Israel, which you have defied." Goliath started first, and Goliath said, am I a dog that you are coming to me with a stone?" And so on. And when he finished talking, David began to speak his own. He didn't allow that giant to have the final say. Beloved brothers and sisters, in this world that is charged with wickedness, you want to walk in deliverance from this wickedness, avoid being the victim of the plague of fear. Avoid negative thinking, imagination. Avoid the release of negative words. Continually charge your faith with preservation words. And number five, hold your shield of faith in the face of challenge. And number six, maintain the clear conscience. Maintain a clear conscience. Proverbs 28 and in verse 1, the Bible said that the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You maintain the clear conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13 said, "And who is he that can harm you when you be followers of that which is good?" Who is he that can harm you? You maintain the clear conscience. What does that mean? You don't do anything that will cause you to lose boldness in the face of fire. Say that again. You don't do things that cause you to lose boldness in the face of fire. You don't do things that cause you to lose boldness in the face of fire. You don't do things that cause you to lose your audacity of faith before God. You don't do anything that gives the enemy the upper hand against you. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 10 and in verse 8, it says, "He that breaketh the hedge, the serpent will bite." So you are not doing things that will give the enemy the upper hand against you. You are not doing things that will make you lose faith and boldness and confidence in the face of fire. Hallelujah. And whenever the enemy reminds you of certain things, ask for mercy. In the name of Jesus, and ensure you exercise your conscience to be void of offense towards God and towards man. Maintain a clear conscience. Number seven, maintain a prophetic covering. Hosea chapter 12 and in verse 13. Hosea 12 and in verse 13. He said, "And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved." Hosea 12, 13. Your prophet is critical for your preservation. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, verse 22 and verse 24,
Paul the apostle said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. And he said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. God has given them everyone that is sailing with you. Everyone under your cover is under your preservation. Don't play with prophetic covering. Don't play with prophetic decrees. Don't play. I remember a woman traveling to the Far East once sometime, and I gave a prophetic word in church. Somebody is traveling to the Far East, to China area. All right, come out. Let me pray for you. And I prayed for her, and she traveled. And I said to her before she left, I said, see you when you come back. And when she was in the air going on the way back between China and Dubai or so, the plane began to lose altitude. And then everyone was in frenzy. And he said, my pastor says, see you when you come back. And he will see me because I'll come back. And that was what happened. Beloved brothers and sisters, whatever it is, maintain prophetic covering. I speak to everyone here today. I declare you are covered, you are preserved. Every agenda of hell looking for your life, that agenda is arrested. You shall fulfill your days and you shall fulfill your destiny. The purpose of God for your life must come to pass, and the purpose of the enemy shall be lost. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Finally, employ the forces and provisions of Scripture for preservation. Employ the forces and the provisions of Scripture for preservation. What are these provisions? The anointing. The Bible said in Psalm 105, verse 12 to verse 15, when they were but few men in number, very few strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. When they went, touch not my anointed. By the placement of that anointing on yourself, on your family. Isaiah 10:27. In that day, the burden shall be lifted from your shoulder, the yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing forbids your destruction. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Yourself, your children, as you step out, your office, your premises. Second is the communion. He said, I'll pass through the camp tonight, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Exodus 12. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. 13. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The blood of the covenant is the blood of our preservation, is the blood of our deliverance. You take it, you apply it on yourself, on your life, for your preservation. In John chapter 6, verse 54, it says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That is, you are connected to a life that no devil can waste, no devil can finish. And we are here tonight to take that communion of preservation, communion of escape, the life of Jesus that makes you indestructible, and the anointing that makes you untouchable. It's a new day for you. Thank you, Father, because it is dawn. In Jesus' precious name, stand up on your feet and lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Appreciate him for this word tonight. Appreciate him, honor him, and adore him. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'm going to give an altar call right now. After that, we shall go into an extensive session of praying tonight, and then return back for the communion and then the anointing with oil, and then the release. But right now, wherever you are in need of surrender to Jesus' forgiveness of sins, pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life today and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever and backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I know you meant that prayer. Let me know that you prayed, and we shall come into agreement together and ask that the Lord will perfect his purpose in your life. In Jesus' name.